word. It's found in your bulletin, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, very popular passage in the book of Acts. The story of the early church. Amen. As we transition from the seven habits, this is a wonderful habit to practice. But we're also getting ready to go into our evening Bible study looking at the book of Acts. Amen. We left, in fact, some months ago, we left off in the book of Acts at Acts chapter 16. Amen. And praise God. If you're not and haven't been in Bible study, I want to encourage you to begin reading and read up, in fact, to Acts chapter 16. Amen. I'll begin reading at verse 25 through 28, Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through 28. However, for context, please, please, in your spare time, read all of Acts chapter 16. And it reads just like this. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated and praise God. God, afresh we confess we need you to speak through us and speak to us. Remove every distraction, Lord, so that we might be blessed by your word. We know there's a blessing in your word, Lord. Now we want to receive it. We thank you in advance. Solo Dio Gloria. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For a few moments, I want to talk about the subject, the pathology of praise. The pathology of praise. You're probably familiar with the word pathology. Pathology is often used to describe something that is ill, something that is wrong, something that is not working. Well, I stand before you because the truth is that our modern understanding of praise is definitely sick. Our modern understanding of praise has some kind of disease. Because if you look in the scriptures, the truth is praise shouldn't look like we often describe praise. Amen. Oftentimes when we talk about praise, it's as though we're giving God a reward because we feel like he's followed our instructions. We talk about praise as though, God, you did what I said to do, so I'm going to praise your name. God, I don't have any pain this morning, so I'm going to give you a praise. God, my finances are okay, so I'm going to give you a praise and a step. We talk about praise as though it's a child who is doing what they're supposed to do and looks up at their parent and says, now give me some money. We talk about praise in the way that really doesn't line up with scripture. Because the truth is, when God talks about praise in the scriptures, praise is objective. Praise is simply based on who God is. And so it doesn't matter what's happening in my life, Pastor, it doesn't matter how I feel, it doesn't matter what I see, it doesn't matter what I think about the circumstance, it doesn't matter if I agree with God or disagree with God, God is still worthy of my praise. And I know this is a hard word, but you got to receive it, because the truth is we would all be filled with great joy if we understood the reality of praising God. Praising God should be something constant in our life. Praising God should be something consistent in our life. It's not fickle, because that makes it fake. It's the truth that God is always worthy of my praise, because God is always on the throne, because God changes not, because God is still supreme, because God is God, period. I'll say it again. Because God is God, I ought to praise him right now. That's the truth of this message, and I really want to get it into your heart, because sometime, at some place, you'll be asking yourself the question, can I praise God now? now, and all you have to do is answer this question. Is God still God? If God is still God, then God still deserves a praise. He still deserves a shout. He still deserves a sacrifice. He still deserves a step. He still deserves a hallelujah, and he still deserves an amen, because God is still God. When I feel pain in my body, when my marriage is struggling, when my children aren't doing right, when my money is funny and my change is strange, God is still God, so I can praise him. I know I'm in the text because the text starts off really early with a woman, a young girl, in fact, who has a demon, y'all. She has a demon, and I know we like to discuss demonology all the time. People get excited about, tell me more about demons. Well, let me be very clear with you in this text. The truth is that as a Christian, you cannot be possessed by a demon. No, I discourage you watching some of that television, but don't worry, you cannot be possessed by a demon because you've already been possessed by the Holy Spirit. However, you can be influenced by some demons. That's why you got to watch out who you hang around with. Amen. I'll just keep on preaching. Well, see, in the text, there's this girl. She's possessed by a demon much early on. And here she is, possessed by this demon, and there's some people profiting from her possession. There's some people making money because she begins to tell the future. She begins to tell these things that are going to happen, and because of this, they're making money. And so they're real excited about making this money until this girl, possessed by the demon, sees Paul. And then she starts proclaiming, look, these are they who are teaching about salvation. These are they who are introducing us to eternal life. She starts proclaiming. And at this, Paul gets concerned and Paul gets disappointed because Paul says something wrong with her. She ain't right. So he casts the spirit out of her. But then, watch this, once she gets delivered, those who are making money get mad. Yeah, because somebody's money got messed up. So they got real upset, and so they decided to throw Paul and Silas in jail. In fact, it better be said that they were thrown in prison. They were thrown the worst part of the jail. But this text is helpful to us because it forces the claim that praise is not based on our feelings. That praise is not whether we want to. That praise is part of who we are. Praise is the fact. Okay, let me see if I can make this plane. I thought this would happen. I told my wife about the story of this young girl. She was at a basketball game, a college basketball game, and she was a cheerleader. So she was cheering on her team. Her team would make a score or lose a score. Whatever happened, she kept on cheering until finally they moved her to the top of the pyramid. They lifted up this girl all the way to the top of the pyramid, and there she was. She was cheering. She was calling out her team, go, 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 cheering until something went wrong. There was a big hush, a big noise, a big across the gymnasium because she fell from the top of the pyramid, bam, to the pine of the floor. Here she was, falling from this pyramid, three levels high. Everybody gasped, everybody wondering, would she be okay? Is she going to make it? Is she going to live? Is she going to be all right? And at that, they ran something out to carry her. They strapped her head down because they didn't want her to move. They strapped her feet down because they wanted to keep her safe, and they even strapped her waist down. But as they were carrying her out of the gymnasium, she did something interesting. She started to cheer with her arms. Yeah, the reason she was cheering with her arms because she was a cheerleader. Can I talk to you for a moment? As a believer, the truth is praise is in your DNA. You are designed to praise God, even when you're going through, even when hard times come. The truth is, Habakkuk says it this way, though there be no figs on the vine, though there be no olives, you can still praise God. The truth is, David says it this way, I will bless the Lord sometimes his praise. No? Oh, okay. I'll bless the Lord at great times his. I'll bless the Lord at good times because. Let me look that up. You're right. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and bless the Lord with me. My soul will bless the Lord at all times. Times when I'm popular and times when I'm unpopular. Times when I'm happy and times when I'm not. Times when I'm in trouble and times when I'm safe. Times when I'm this and times when I'm that. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will
will continually, his praise will constantly, his praise will consistently be in my mouth. And then it goes on to say, why don't you bless the Lord with me? That's the truth about praise. It's not fickle. It's not sometimey. It's not how I feel. It's not the choir that's singing. It's not the preacher that's preaching. It's all about God. Is God still God? If he's still God, then you ought to praise his name. Now, I'm not just talking about in church, but I am talking about in church. Let me continue, because this text teaches us above all, that praise is above. Let me tell you first, praise is above our aggravation. Would you say that? Above aggravation. Yeah, all right. I need to get this point, because some of us have been aggravated. Yeah, somebody has messed with us. Somebody has harassed us. Somebody has talked about us, or the circumstances just hadn't been right, or the situation just has gotten on our nerves. I just don't like this and I don't like that. I'm aggravated, y'all. Yeah, but praise is above that. I know I'm in the text because please understand, in chapter 16, the second missionary journey, things were going well for Paul and Silas. They were moving, sliding through the scene, everything working out, 24 karat gold. Things were going well. They started off, and the first thing that happened is they met a young man named Timothy. And Timothy would be the protege. He was going to come behind Paul. Things were going well. Next, they slide over here. They meet Lydia. She sells purple. She has money. She said, I'm going to help you out and hook you up. Things are going well until all of a sudden everything changes. It becomes aggravating because, in fact, okay, y'all not feeling me. Let me see if I can describe aggravation in modern terms. There's this thing going on, and I don't know fully how to explain it, but people call 911 on black men in particular for doing nothing. There was a brother driving in Georgia, and he had two children in back, so somebody called 911. They called 911, said, it looks suspicious. Something's not right. The police pulled him over and they said, sir, somebody told us you look suspicious and things aren't right. And he said, I'm babysitting two children. What's suspicious about that? They looked in the car. They looked at him. The children were of a different race, but that wasn't the issue. They couldn't figure out why she called the police. There's another scenario where a young person was selling lemonade. They called the police. Another scenario where a person was sitting in Starbucks. They called the police. Time after time, that's called aggravation, y'all. When people are just messing with you, trying to get under, the devil is a liar. Trying to get under your skin, trying to get on your nerves, trying to upset you because they don't like you. That's aggravation. And can I talk to you for a little bit about aggravation? That your praise has to be above aggravation. Because the fact is, come here, this is going to disappoint you, but I'm going to preach it hard, preach it true. The truth is, you got to learn to ignore some aggravation. Okay, you didn't get me over there. You got to learn to ignore some aggravation. That stuff comes with the territory. It's going to be, okay, y'all not feeling me. Let me see if I can make a point. A little boy went to his dad and said, Dad, what's the difference between irritation, aggravation, and frustration? He said, Dad, what's the difference between irritation, frustration, and aggravation? The dad said, well, let me show you, son. He picked up the phone and he dialed a random number. He said, hello, sir. Is Malcolm there? The man said, you have the wrong number. Sir, is Malcolm there? Man, you have the wrong number. And he hung up. He said, son, that's irritation. Picked up the phone again, called the same number. Hello, sir, is Malcolm there? The man now says, I just told you, Malcolm is not here. And he hung up. He said, son, that's frustration. So the boy said, well, Dad, then I understand irritation. I understand frustration. But what's aggravation? Dad said, wait right here. He called the number again. He said, sir, this is Malcolm. Has anybody called for me? Aggravation is when somebody's messing with you. But can I talk to you and tell you the truth, that aggravation really doesn't harm you. It really doesn't harm you. It just gets in your head. It really doesn't harm you. It doesn't damage you. You know, somebody said, sticks and stones will break my bones, but work. That's what aggravation is. So you got to learn to ignore it. But this text doesn't just teach us that we have to praise God above aggravation. It teaches us, and come here, this is going to be hard. We got to praise God above abuse. Why don't you say that? Praise God. You didn't even want to say it. Praise God above abuse. Now, abuse is when somebody is really doing something, not just to get on your nerves, but they're hurting you. They're messing with your money. They're messing with your honey. They're getting in you. They're beating you up. They're threatening to take your job. They're really doing something that can hurt you. And even then, you got to praise God. How do I know I'm in the Bible? Because the Bible tells us that they were arrested. Oh, man, that right there is abuse. But not only were they arrested, I didn't stop and talk to you about the fact before they were arrested, they were beaten up and beaten down. Now, because they were Roman citizens, they should have limited their beating to 40 lashes. But the Bible teaches us here that they did not do that. They have violated their Roman status because they didn't ask it, and they beat them over and over again. Oftentimes, y'all not feeling me. I can see by the smiles on your face. You ought not be smiling right here. They beat them till they passed out. I don't know if you're familiar with history, but there's a gentleman named Peter. He's famous because his back is the image of a famous slave. You can see on his back how he had been beaten over and over again. And he talked about it after he ran away, and he allowed his picture to be taken and showed his back. And he said, I don't remember getting beaten. They said, you don't remember getting beaten? He said, no, because as soon as they start, the pain would be so bad, I would pass out in pain. And they continue to beat me, and I was lucky to live. This was the kind of beating, or biblical term, scourging, that they experienced. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes, because as Christians, I believe that all too many of us have believed the lie that God said, you will never be uncomfortable and you will never be abused, that everything will go your way and you will be all right. Hallelujah. I'm blessed and highly favored and always comfortable. That is a lie. In fact, I believe this, that as Christians, part of your worship ought to be your wounds. The truth is, if you're truly serving God, there will be some scars from all your worship. There'll be something that you did. I know I'm in the Bible. The Bible says that Jesus has scars in his hands, and Paul would later on say that I might know him in the power and his suffering. We don't want to talk about that. But truthfully, you've done some suffering for God. If you've been faithful to God, if you've helped somebody and they messed you up, if you did right and somebody lied on you, if you showed up, served, and sacrificed, and you got jacked up, beat up, and messed up, the truth is, if you love God, you will suffer for him. Y'all can look at me if you like, if you want to. But I know the truth, that every day hasn't been peaches and creams. Everybody who you blessed hasn't blessed you. Some of the people who you blessed curse you, but that's all right because you didn't do it for them. Woo! You didn't do it for them. You didn't show up for them. You didn't come to worship for them. It wasn't about them. It was all about God. So even though they did you dirty, even though they treated you wrong, that's all right. That's okay. I did it for God. That's the truth about this text, that you got to get to the place that you can praise God above aggravation, that you can praise God above abuse. I was talking with my children and one of my sons, and we were having this deep conversation, and this conversation was, can it rain on the sun? And the question was, can it rain on the sun? And we got to the point of saying, no, it can't rain on the sun because the sun is above the clouds. Can I talk to you for a moment? Your praise is above the atmosphere. So your praise ought to be better and bigger than the circumstance, and it doesn't matter what's happening around me. I can be in the grocery store, I promise, and I'll bless the Lord. I can be in my car all by myself, and I'll bless the Lord. I can be walking down the street with a flat tire, and I'll bless the Lord. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be, if I gotta bless the Lord all by myself, unto myself, I'll bless the Lord, because the Lord has been good, and he is good. And even when I don't like what he's doing, he's still good, because he's God, so he can't be anything but good. In fact, I'll bless the Lord right now. Hallelujah. And praise God. God is great and greatly to be praised. I'm not talking about my stuff. I'm not talking about my car. I'm not talking about my cash. I'm talking about my God. And my God is good at all times. Isn't he good? Oh, I know he's good. He's always been good. He can't be anything but good. He is God all by himself. You have to understand that part of knowing God and loving God and praising God is experiencing a little bit of suffering. It's throughout the Bible. I don't know why we ignore it. Do you know that Peter was going to be crucified? But Peter said, no, y'all can't crucify me like Jesus. That's too nice. That's too good. In fact, if you're going to crucify me, you better put the cross upside down. I don't deserve to be treated as good as Jesus Christ. You got to learn to suffer a little. And if you suffer a little, you'll reign with Christ. Hallelujah and praise God. Part of your worship worship is your wounds. Go ahead and do it for Christ. It might hurt. It might be uncomfortable. People might talk about you. People might lie on you. People won't understand you, but that's all right. It's all about God. They were in prison. They were beaten and beaten and beaten. And yet the Bible says why they were in prison. And the Bible says it was at midnight. The Bible says late in the midnight hour that they were praising the Lord. And they were praising the Lord so loud that the other prisoners had to hear them. I could see some other prisoners saying, why don't they shut up and be quiet? Why do they keep praising their God? Don't they know they're in prison? What is wrong? Are they high on something? Why are they singing those songs? Why are they singing those hymns? I don't want to hear those hymns. I'm in prison. The Bible teaches us next that your praise has to be active. Would you say active? Now, I got to get some of you. I got to get real close to you, all up in your face. Tell your neighbor, your praise got to be active. Now, I'm saying this to the person to your right, to your left, because a whole lot of times we want to be inactive and call it praise. I got to praise on the inside. That's not true, because Hebrews says that praise is the fruit of our lips. It has to be expressed. It has to come out. That praise has to be active. Let me say it another way. That praise is going to cost you something. That praise is going to cost you something. And it might be money. It might be time. It might be pain. It might be, I remember I was preaching and I was doing my best. I was preaching my heart out, and this same sister would come and sit near the front, and she would just sleep. Wake your neighbor up. Come on, wake him up. Wake him up. And she would just sleep Sunday after Sunday. So finally one Sunday I got bold. I said, because she would say at the end of the service, thank you, Reverend, for preaching the good word. So I went to her and I said, look, why you keep sleeping while I'm preaching? She said, Reverend, I work a double shift. I work a double shift, but I want to come to the house of the Lord. So I come and I listen as much as I can, and I get a little bit of encouragement so I can go back to my double shift. I'm doing the best I can, and I thank God he's given you a word from me. Yeah, that's right. It's going to cost you something. Some of us think that praise is this cheap, this simple statement, this light, this insignificant stuff. But the truth is, if you study the scriptures, praise is a sacrifice unto God. Praise is me saying, it's not easy. It's hard. It's hurt. I'm sick, but I'm going. I'm doing, I'm serving, I'm praising God. I may not have much of a voice, but with the voice I got, I'm going to give him a shout out. I'm going to give him a hallelujah. I'm going to give you a thank you. If I'm in a hospital and the trachea just came out my throat, I'm sick there, but I'm still saying, God, I trust you and I thank you. You are God all by yourself. Okay, y'all not feeling me. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 24. Interesting story of David. David, who is a praiser. David, who is assigned to praise. He's related to us. Amen. He praises like we ought to praise. In fact, he praises like we praise. Amen. Look, David, it wants to offer God a sacrifice. He had sinned, and in response, he wants to bless the Lord. And so he goes to find property in which he's going to sacrifice. He's going to use it as an altar to sacrifice the Lord. But when he gets there and tries to pay for the property, the man says, oh no, I'm going to give this to you since you're going to use it for the Lord. And David said, I appreciate that. I understand that. That's a good thing. But let me explain something. I can't make this an altar unless I sacrifice for it so that I can sacrifice on it. And I want to talk to you, because sometimes in order for you to give God your best, it's a sacrifice. It's not easy. It hurts. It's difficult. People don't understand. It's a sacrifice, baby. But I'm telling you that God wants our sacrifice. That's what praise is. It is a sacrifice. God says it's going to be active. Okay, y'all not feeling me. It's in Nehemiah chapter 8. You ought to check it out. Nehemiah chapter 8. In Nehemiah chapter 8, there is the story of Ezra. Ezra walks into the church, and really not the church, but he walks before the people, and he takes the word, and there's several things that you see the people doing while they're praising God. The first thing they do is they say, amen. I thought this would happen. Let me see who's willing to help me. Excuse me. I'm going to let them go for just a second. We'll be right back with you. Look, I need you to be the amen section. So when I say amen, you have to say amen. This comes from Nehemiah chapter 8. So it's in the Bible. I'm not going to ask you for your money. I'm just going to ask you to say amen. Okay, that's close. I'm going to ask you to say amen. cool. And so in Nehemiah chapter 8, they said, amen. But then there was another section, it's going to be hard, but I'm asking you to do it anyway, that stood up on their feet. They stood on their feet for the entire reading of the word and sometimes for the entire service. I'm come back to y'all. I need you to stand on your feet. All you got to do is stand on your feet. This is your part of worship. And then there was another group that lifted up their hands. That gets to be, you're going to lift up your hands. You ready? I'm directing choir. You ready? You can sit down. I'll be right with you with my left hand. So you going to be the amen? All right. So they said, and they, a few of them didn't get right here. Y'all fasten them. Let me do this one more time. They said, amen. Okay, thank you very much. All I'm trying to say is that true praise is active. And I know I got on a few of your nerves. And I know your knees may have hurt it. And I know you didn't want to do that right. That's okay. But you know what you did? You gave God a praise. And the good news is, anytime you give God a praise, then God has to respond. In fact, the Bible said, I refuse to keep these silent. If I be silent, if these be silent, then the very rocks will cry out. There's something significant about praise. And one of the reasons... Let me get back to text. One of the reasons that many of our prayers don't seem to get through is because we haven't coupled them with praise. The Bible said they were praying and praising God. And I want to talk to you as I take my seat, because it's true throughout the scriptures that when you decide, no matter what you're going through, that no matter what you're dealing, I'm sorry for leaving y'all out, I'm going to get you at the end. No matter what you're dealing with, if you determine to praise God, I'm in Philippians, they were at Philippi, it said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with thanksgiving, make your requests made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding, thanksgiving, praise, you partner that request with praise, and God will do something in your life. I don't know what it is you need God for. I don't know what it is you're asking God for, but praise God. Just stop and say, thank you, God, because the truth is, not only is praise above your aggravation, not only is praise above your abuse, not only is praise active, but praise activates God, because the Bible says that there was an earthquake. Can you see it in the text? Here they were praising God, and the room began to shake. I think they call it a jailhouse rock. The room began to shake, but you need to understand this was a supernatural earthquake, because nothing came down and knocked them on the head, but instead they got a breakthrough. I'm going to take my seat. Let me give you this as I go. That the truth is, if you need a breakthrough, then you need a praise break. I know you didn't get it. If you need a breakthrough, then you do that. You get to that with a praise break. Okay, I see what it is. You don't understand what a breakthrough. A breakthrough is a substantial and sudden change that literally changes everything. So in medicine, it'd be a vaccine. Or in technology, it'd be a light bulb or a computer. Or in the doctor's field, it could be a heart transplant. Just something significant. And if there's something in your life that really needs a significant change, that really needs a sudden change, that you've been waiting on, asking God for, then what you need to do is have a praise break. Decide that you will praise God with your whole heart, with all your heart. And I promise you that you'll see God move. In fact, the Bible tells us about a king named Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat had to go against a bunch of bullies. There was a crowd of kings who had come against him. And so he went to the prophets and preachers and he said, what should I do? And the Levites responded, praise God. And they went on to say this. They said, this is not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. So they didn't talk about swords. They didn't talk about chariots. They didn't talk about weapons. They talked about praising God. When you decide to praise God, when you decide to lift up your heads, oh ye gates, the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He'll fight for you. He'll go in front of you. He'll be all around you. He'll help you out and lift you up. Oh yes, he will. Yes, he will. Open up your mouth and praise the Lord. I dare you to stand up on your feet and wave unto the Lord. Give an offering of wave. Thank him for being God. And thank him for being good. Let him know, if you don't do anything else, you've already done more than enough. Yes, you have. Yeah. I don't know where your place is. If it's in the shower, that's fine. If it's in your room with the lights off, but get there and show God that you're crazy enough to praise Him. Yeah, show God that you're going to offer Him a sacrifice of praise. And look, if you need to turn on some Fred Hammond or some Kirk Franklin or some C.L. Franklin, I don't know. Maybe not Aretha Franklin, but just turn on some worship and just praise Him. Give Him a praise offering and see what He does. And see what He does. I didn't read it to you because we weren't doing a Bible study, but throughout this chapter, it's underlaced with the Greek words, three of them, for joy. And one of the benefits of praise, it's an oxymoron. One of the benefits of praising God is it gives you joy. Now, please understand, the world uses the word joy, but I'm not talking about I got a new car. Ooh, that's good. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about my bank account is full, y'all. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just a sweet knowing in your soul. Just a confidence in God that makes everything seem lighter. That makes the worst news pale in comparison to the good news. That makes people walking out on you okay. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I've got joy unspeakable down in my soul. I love to praise the Lord. I love to praise the Lord. And I can't sing, but I love to praise the Lord with all my might. Come on, let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing together. Come on, come on. Simple song. Come on, come on.
I love to praise. I love to praise.
Come on, let's sing it.
I love to praise.
part of the sermon, so I need your help. I'm going to take my seat. You got to wave and clap. Come on. You wave unto the Lord. Come on, come on. Help your neighbor. They're scared. They're scared. Receives that as a sweet fragrance. Amen. Your arm tired? Amen. He receives that as a sweet fragrance. Amen. The doors of the church are open. That means that if you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus, or you need to be baptized, or you need a church home, that this is the time for you to acknowledge, for you to accept, for you to acclaim Christ as your own.